You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, praise God. Well, everybody alive and wet? Everybody dried off?
Yeah.
Okay. No, we enjoying the weather, and I'll tell you what, even though it's raining a little bit, it's a lot warmer than where we are in Michigan. Michigan is not even, it's hardly budding yet. It's just starting to bud, no leaves, and the grass is starting to get green. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
It's been a long winter, and we're thanking God it's over with. But we come down, and Jeff's on vacation this week, and so we just thought, hey, we're just going to head to the sun.
Amen.
So we thank God today. It's always good to take the sun with you, though. His name is Jesus. And, you know, it can be warm on the outside, but it's not warm on the inside. It can be a cold life. So we thank God today. You know, I had some things in my notebook here, and can I just give you some meditation?
Yeah.
Not a real teaching, but it's just a meditational thing that I kind of got hooked into a little bit before. This year, Easter time, I've been doing the Easter services for like 30 some odd years. And I always pray every year, Lord, give me another revelation. I just wasn't prepared this year. God just opened my eyes to the teaching that Jesus did at the Last Supper.
Yeah.
In the area of the covenant that he was establishing. You know, our name of our church is New Covenant Living, and I thought I've looked it over pretty good on the topic. But this year, I don't know, I don't think it was something new necessarily as much as it was something that just impacted me. How much Jesus was trying to teach his disciples that their old covenant has passed away, and behold, there is a new covenant, and that he ratified that at that dinner.
Yeah.
And at that dinner, the old covenant was going to be completely passed away. And then we see that, of course, during the crucifixion, that when that veil was rent, I tell you what, that old covenant was done in.
Yeah.
It was no longer there.
Hallelujah.
I don't even know why we deal with that thing, you know, because it's been done away with. There's a new covenant.
Hallelujah.
How many are glad that there's a new covenant?
Yes.
I'm telling you what, when we really look at the dealings of the old covenant, I am one happy guy that there's a new covenant, because we realize that this church age, we're under under the grace of God, and we realize that the law was, there's no gray to the wall. It's a cut and dry.
That's right.
And we thank God today. We can't take the Word of God and dissect it up and make it gray either. The Word is the Word.
Yep.
And we don't do that. But we do realize that in our best day, we'll never make it. Amen. Without Jesus Christ.
That's
and the
right.
Grace of God and this covenant. Because see, the old covenant, we all know that. You're a good teaching church here, but the old covenant was between God and man.
Yep.
And we see that man would always fail and break the covenant, and then the curse would come upon him. Well, under this new covenant we have that's in Christ Jesus, who's the surety of this covenant?
Yeah, praise God.
See? It's not us, it's
right.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
So, we being in Christ, now we have that new covenant in our life. And so, I've been thinking about this, and it's been a good trip for me because I've been mulling around in my mind, and I really haven't had a lot of study time on it as much as just mental, going over different scriptures in my heart and my mind and asking God, you know. And I was starting to, after the Passover was over, I said, Lord, is there anything else you want to show me on this thing? And God started looking at that. And I was going to look at it tonight a little bit here. If I can find out where I wrote it. Oh, there it was. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. I just have the opening scriptures. I won't have to really open it up with you tonight. I'm learning this new iPad I have, and I'm just learning how to make it really work good. But we talk about, you know, God spoke to a man. It says in verse 11, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence." Does anything sounding familiar?
Yeah.
With our day and age that we live in?
Yeah.
"And God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. And God made a, and God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, and make yourself an ark." Make yourself an ark. Okay? And so I realized that that God was speaking to my heart and talking to me about how we realize that, because in Matthew, you know, Matthew 24, it talks about in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so we realize that that God, in this new covenant through His Son Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus has not only is He a type of Noah, I believe, but see, Noah made an ark, and what did Jesus do? Jesus made an ark in you and me. And God was speaking about this covenant that we have with Him, that in this day and age, that we realize the church is going to be so important. Because through us, we make up the ark of God.
That's good.
And, you know, Jesus stands at the door. He hearkened us in. Can you say amen? Well, we become an ark. And we need to stand at the door of our ark, whether it be the church or our home. And we need to beckon the world in. Can you say amen? Because we realize that the days are growing dark. And we realize a lot of things going on today. These are violent days. I mean, just the weather patterns and everything else are really messed up. You know, we can become frightful. We can become all out of rest with the gas prices. We can get all messed up on these topics. Or we can realize that these are the latter days and that God has raised us up in this hour that we live to be His covenant. Amen? We just don't have a covenant. We are the covenant.
Yeah.
We don't just have an ark. We are the ark. You know, we don't just have the Word of God, we are the Word of God. And we need to step into those positions more than ever. Just coming down here, we just stopped into a restaurant, and we were pretty tired and everything, and we'd been really riding heavy and a little hot, and so we went in this restaurant, we sat down, and a lady spotted one of my tattoos, and she said, "You know, oh, that's a really cool tattoo. I got tattoos too." And she put her arms out, and she had four stars. She said, "You probably not know what that's about, you know." And I went, "You got four kids, you know?" That's kind of what I thought. And she says, "No, I don't know how she tied it in. Why there had to be five stars? But anyway, she says there's four stars because I'm not perfect." There's only four stars because I'm not perfect. And I says, "Well, would you like another star?" And she says, what do you mean? I says, "Well, you know, Jesus can make you perfect."
Yeah.
"Oh, no. Nobody's perfect." I said, "Well, yeah, but in the flesh, that might be true. But
yeah,
in Jesus..." And she, "Oh, I'm not going to argue with you. Nobody's perfect." And she walked off, and we're going, "Wow, I guess she wasn't going to argue. That's for sure." But she couldn't get the concept. She couldn't get the concept that, yeah, in the natural we're not perfect,
right,
but there is a place in Christ that He's made us perfect.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
And that because of that perfection, we have something to shoot for.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
Praise God.
Amen? "Be holy even as I am holy," the Lord God says.
Yeah.
And so it's not impossible, but if we keep associating with the guy that's imperfect,
uh-huh,
see, my Bible tells me that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man.
Good.
And how are we going to be an example to this world if we don't disassociate with that old man?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the whole mental process of, you know, my mama flushed my feet in the toilet and now I got a hang up, you know, type of deal. How long are we going to associate with that kind of stuff? You know, I my heart goes out to the families that don't have a man in the house, you know, but how long are we going to go along being all upset about that?
Yeah.
Or you know, maybe there was drug or alcohol problems in my family. Does that mean I got to be a drug addict? Maybe there's been a bit of adultery, a whole line. You know, there's family lines that just not even married. There's adultery and all kinds of stuff going on. Does that mean that I've got to live that way? No, I can put off that, you know. Maybe my dad was a man of anger. Does that mean I have to be a man of anger? No, it don't mean that. Because why? I find myself new in Christ Jesus. How am I going to give something I don't have? How can I be an ark unless I associate with the one that built the ark? Amen? See, so we realize that we're building a house. We're building a house. You know, the corporate house is the church, of course. But individually, we build the house of God. And thank God today, we need to start bringing more stones into the house of God to build the house. Amen? It's not just a coming and a going. It's saying, "What Lord, what am I to do? What am I to build?" And so I've been thinking about that. I've got some scriptures. I'm just going to run some scriptures off to you here. Turn with me to Hebrews 12:23. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here all concerning the covenant that God has with us. Yep. Hebrews 12:23 says, "And to the assemblies of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." Praise God today. I don't know about you, but I've enrolled. We was talking to little Haley? No. Mikkel. You know, and she's enrolling in kindergarten this coming year. You have to enroll your kids in school. Amen? Well, how do you know today when we accept Jesus Christ, we enroll in heaven?
That's right.
Our name is there, so when we get there, guess what? They're going to look at the book of life and they're going to say, "You may enter." Can you say amen? We thank God today our name is wrote in the book of life. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Now, if we're not perfect, then the Word of God must be a liar. Because if we be in Christ, right here it says, to the God and the judge of all, who and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect.
That's good. Yeah.
For me to say I'm imperfect would mean that God's a liar. If give me a definition of perfect. I was going to get that out of my Rodex, but I forgot to do it before I left. What's a good definition of perfect?
Fully
matured?
Yeah. Perfected, yeah.
Okay.
Complete.
If we look at this sign up here, which I was way in the back there and I was looking at the sign, and I thought, now that is perfect. It has good texture. You can see it. It looks very modern and all this stuff. And I thought, that's what we think about when we think of perfect. Do I go up here and associate with every little minor thing that I can pick out wrong about this thing? Is that what makes this thing perfect to me? No. It's when I viewed it, I thought, perfect. It's professional looking. Okay? Well, when I look at you, do I look at you perfect? Or do I look at you imperfected? Okay? And so we need to understand that many times we can be trained by this world just to look at somebody and look at. I mean, how many of you are working on this?
Yeah,
I'm working on this. Working on my. I mean, it took me years to get over looking at Jody's imperfections. That's right. Because my mom worked, cleaned the house, and did things, you know. Almost miraculous. I mean, just perfect. And there wasn't a spot on the counter. There wasn't a thing out of place. And Jody came from a big family, and things were out of place, man. And I just couldn't handle that. You know what I'm saying? I see a little piece of crumb on the counter. I've changed a lot. I've become kind of a slob, really. I guess, but not really. But you know, that was a big deal, you know, and I would purposely go in there after she cleaned the kitchen. I'd go in there and put my hand across the top of the refrigerator.
Oh, no.
Hey, you didn't clean it at all. I'd say things like that, but that don't make for a happy marriage. You know what I'm saying? And so I would only see her imperfections.
Yeah.
I had to get over that.
Yep.
That's no way to live. You know what I'm saying? We're all working on ourselves. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But we need to look after ourselves as God sees us. Looking at our perfectedness in Christ.
Praise God.
Amen? To the assembly. The firstborn. We are the assembly of the firstborn. I tell you what, we're cut of His rock. Amen. And we're enrolled in heaven. Luke 22, verse 20. He says, "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood." See, our whole Christian life is based upon the premise that there's been a price paid for us, and that's why we're perfect. See, under the old covenant, only our imperfection was shown, because the purity of the Word, the purity of God is so great that none can be righteous. Romans chapter 3. None can be righteous, no, not one. Because why? None was out saying. We're not one of us. You know, we were born with a sin nature. How many of you say amen to that?
Yep.
We're born with it. You don't have to teach a baby how to sin. How to manipulate. You never notice a baby, you don't have to teach a baby how to manipulate. They just learn it naturally. You know what I'm saying? We learn these things. We pick it up along the way. Nobody needs to do a lot of teaching on us. We just got that nature inside of us. But we thank God today that sin nature has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to resort to that stuff anymore. Why? Because we're of a different rock now. Amen. We're of a new covenant. And that thing has been poured out. Jesus ratified that thing. He's the surety of that thing. And everything that we have hope for is all in Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We thank God today. He is the surety of that new covenant. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:25. These are a couple. I mean, I got a whole teaching I did on the covenant out of the communion. It's changed my outlook on the communion. I mean, I haven't got even close to the depths I want to go with it, because it just blew me away. I did Good Friday service, and I tell you what, I was blown away. God's just revealing things about the covenant through that thing.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 11:25, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You know, realize that the Passover, it's been demonstrated every time we take a communion, we are in not only demonstrating the new covenant, but we are reinforcing the fact that we have been passed over.
Yeah.
Amen. That the penalty of death has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Over the mantle of our ark, there's blood. Amen. And that we're not going to stand before God in judgment.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
Thank God today for it. Because I still make a mistake once in a while. I know Pastor Mike don't, but yeah. I still do make a mistake once in a while.
Okay.
I tell you what. We were in Dallas. We got turned around. We got on the wrong road. I about lost my sanctification on that one. I'm telling you what, right there, man. My bike stopped on me. Ooh. Yamaha had to push me. I mean, how embarrassing. How embarrassing. Yeah. Thank God the rider did it, not his bike. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3:6. Now, we've been riding. We rode hard that day, too, man. We put some miles on that thing. I tell you. Yep. Who has made us complete to be ministers of a new covenant? Who has made us competent? Give me a definition, Mike. Competent.
Able.
Yeah. New King James. King James says able, I think. Yeah. The Amplified says what?
Qualified.
New King James says competent. Amen. You know, it's funny to me how many people say, I just don't feel I'm able.
Right.
So we need to get rid of that spirit.
Absolutely.
If my God made me able, I mean, we sing it a lot, don't we, in our songs and stuff? My God is able. He making me able. You know what I'm saying? We sing a lot of that stuff, and then pastor asks somebody to do something. I just don't think I can do that. Well, I thought we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. He made me able to be a minister of the new covenant. See, the covenant, like the ark, wasn't just for saving the animals.
Yeah.
You know there was people in that boat?
Yeah.
There's people in that boat. You know what I'm saying? God, in His destroying because of the sins of man, He still had a remnant. Mm-hmm. You know the church is a remnant? We are a remnant. We are God's love and manifestation. And we are a covenant. And I tell you what, we need to understand in these last days that we need to, you might strengthen our tent stakes, because I'll tell you what, I believe there's going to be a great outpouring.
Praise
I really
God.
Do.
Praise God. Yeah.
You know, I thank God for your church here. You're preparing for that. You got this building out here?
Yep.
Well, it might not look like it's going very fast, but I'll tell you what, when it's time, that thing will be finished in a twinkling of an eye. I'm saying that about my own church.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. We're in the process of trying to buy a school right up the road from me, which was kind of nice. My dad was a custodian there. I put a lot of hours in there helping my dad clean that building. And it's got a personal... My dad actually died in that building. Fell and punctured his aorta and bled to death, eternally bled to death, you might say, internally for 5 hours, and passed out right there in the hallway. And so that building has a lot of things, but you know what? It has a greater thing for me: the potential of reaching our youth.
Yeah.
Because we have nothing for our youth in our community, and so we're looking to how to utilize that building to its maximum. You know, and guess what? We're not going to make it a church. We want it used. We want that building used. We're gonna pull out all the traditional stops, and we're gonna make it work something that's gonna help the community. Can you say amen? So we're hoping to do that. And actually, when I get home off of this trip, I will be finding out. I've already been basically verbalized giving it to me. I just got to find out how much I'm gonna have to pay for it now. I'm believing God it's gonna be a miracle that we're gonna get it quick. Hebrews 8:8 says this: For he found fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob." Everybody say a new covenant. Amen. Thank God today we've been grafted into that covenant. Amen. You know, I always like it because it says it's established on what? Better promises. Well, anybody could give me just a little idea what some of the better promises could be?
Eternal life. Yeah.
Eternal life. That's a good one right there, isn't it? Amen? Better promises. Well, let me ask you something. Under the law, under the old covenant, if you walked according to the covenant, did they walk in poverty?
No.
No, the Bible says they brought them out and all. They were. Right. Did they walk in sickness?
No.
No? You know, we put all our attention on the sicknesses and establishing what we call the promises, but yet, here in this scripture, it says, what did it say?
Better
promises.
Better.
In other words, we don't have to do nothing for this. We don't have to do nothing. Jesus has done it all.
Right.
We were talking about different times in our life. You know, we're faith people, right? We get our idea on something, and we're going to go, man, we're going to find the word on this, and we're going to confess that word, and we're going to birth that thing in, you know, like some kind of a birthing deal, you know. And we're just spitting and sputtering and you know, winding up over the whole thing and everything like that. But we were talking about how many times have it happened to you that you might have just mentioned that you wanted something, and all of a sudden, that thing came that quick. I have received probably more things out of things I wasn't even believing for.
Yeah.
But just things I said in my heart that I wanted. And God heard that. See, God wants to bless us. So, what is he really talking about, better promises? See, there's a promise, an unbreakable covenant between God the Father and God His Son. That's why Jesus is the surety. He's not going to break it. Amen. If it was up to you, we'd already be toast. How many of you know today there'd just be a big hole in the ground and there'd be just smoke coming up out of it because he'd already toasted us, you know? Because there's not a day goes on that we don't probably do something that would have broken not just the Ten Commandments, but all the, I think, 300 or 400 commandments after that that Moses wrote and then all them after him wrote. And, you know, I've said it before, like when I was in Israel. You know, they on the Sabbath, you go to a hotel that all the elevators run automatic because you can't work, you can't push the button. So the elevators run automatically. Well, under the covenant and the law, you can't tear on the Sabbath. So all the toilet paper is cut, it tore and put on a little, and then the back of your, on the commode there's a little stack like that, all little teeny squares. Now, all the rest of the week is just a round toilet paper like we're used to. But there, because you can't tear. Now, let me ask you. Did everybody go to the bathroom? Yeah. See how ridiculous. You know, Jesus himself, they wouldn't have wanted to kill him if he would have just spit on a rock and not on the mud. Because he spit on the ground and made mud, they considered him working on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And that's how the law is. It's just unreasonable sometimes in its concept. And thank God today, I'm telling you what, we have a better covenant.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's made on better promises. Mm. The promises is Jesus is enough.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me see. How many of we strive so hard for things sometimes? We need to relax ourselves in the Lord. And we just need to believe what He says about us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say with me today? That I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
Amen. See this little girl? It got in my crawl. This little girl saying to me, she just had it so much. See, she was thinking righteous in her mind, oh, I can't say I'm perfect because I know I make mistakes. Well, I make mistakes, but it has nothing to do with me being perfect. Now, does that make me relax? I mean, Paul talked about that. If grace abounds, well, should we just go out and sin more so grace can abound even? Well, he said that's foolishness. No, of course not. Amen. In other words, if we had that kind of thinking, we haven't really realized who we are yet. Amen. See, I want to pattern myself after Christ because that's my true picture.
Amen.
Everybody say with me today, I'm fearfully
and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Amen.
That's who we are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So this is just my little reflection that Noah, I kind of got hooked into this thing through thinking of way back there at Noah's time that God made the ark. Well, you know what? Jesus is the new covenant ark. And because we're in Christ Jesus, we become that ark.
Yeah.
And so this church is an ark.
Praise God.
Our homes are an ark. You know, sometimes I get a little upset with Jody because she goes and she buys all this Gatorade and she buys this ice cream stuff. Our refrigerator is constantly being stocked with this stuff. And I see these kids, they come by our house and they stop and they'll get out, three or four of them jump out, go into our refrigerator, hardly even say hi, get back in their car and leave. You know, I'm going, what is this? A 7-11, what do they call that? 7-11, you know? And sometimes, you know, I think only money. And so I'm thinking, my gosh, these kids just coming in here and buying, they just get this stuff. And Nate brings these friends, they get stuff, you know? I'm going, what is this, you know? But then I realize we're an ark. Because see, I found in my Bible in Psalms, it said, God will make us a tree planted by the water. And that we'll grow out and be a great tree. You know, these young kids need a place to come in, you know? If somebody don't open their hearts to them, who is going to? You know what I'm saying? We can't keep seeing them after their little rascal selves. We got to try to do our best to see them after Christ. Amen? Because I tell you what, I know, I have been, don't believe it, I have lost some sleep over this already because I realize I have to do some changing before I can get that building. Because I'm a little bit too hard yet. I'm a little bit too judgmental yet. I know that these kids are going to come in. I've got to accept them for who they are and see the potential of Christ in them.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, that takes, for me, that takes some training. I'm a little bit tough on the topic, you know. And so I know I got to do some changing. That don't mean that we're going to allow alcohol and drugs and everything else in there. No, we're not going to be that way. We're going to be tough on that. But I'm saying we got to see the individuals. And you know what? The church isn't too far off from that. I just really praise your church here, you know, for your the Halloween outreach you do to the community. Yeah. It might look like a simple thing, but I'll tell you what, that impacts a community. Yeah, and isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Yes.
I get people to, you know, they get upset at me because we do a lot in jail and prisons. That's one of my key things that we do at the church. They say, well, I don't build the church. I said, well, what church are we building? Mm-hmm. Are we building our church or are we building God's church? You know, if we fill his church, he can fill our little church. You know what I'm saying? We don't worry about that stuff. You know, you might say, well, we spend a lot of money in giving kids candy and stuff like that. What's that going to do? I'm going to tell you what. When they get older, they're going to remember who you are. They will remember this stuff. They're going to remember good times. Amen. All right, that's my reflections. You bow your heads with me today? I want to challenge you tonight. Open yourself up for God a little bit more. Take the challenge. You know, you got weight challenges now. You got this challenge, that challenge, all the time challenge. I want to put a challenge out there. Get a picture of yourself as an ark.
Yeah.
But you know, we got to open our heart to Jesus a little bit further to allow people in. Amen. You know, some of there's hurts here today. Maybe you've been hurt in the past. You've opened yourself up and you've been hurt. Well, I'll just pray for you tonight. If you've been hurt or something like that, just reach out to God here today. You know, God's in the healing business. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, there's an old saying, you know, better to love and to lost than not loved at all. You know, I made a decision quite a few years ago that I wasn't going to live my life shut up. I'd been hurt in the ministry quite a few times. I know your own pastor probably has been, or anybody's ever worked with anybody. Maybe not in ministry, but, you know, where's Doc? Did he already gone? She's in the kids or something. You know, isn't he he's got a dentist or chiropractor?
Chiropractor.
You know, I was in the restaurant business. Guess what? You get hurt in the restaurant business.
Yep.
You get good people coming there all the time, and all of a sudden they stop coming. Well, what do we do? You know what I'm saying? Father, I thank you today that you address our heart. One of your main ministries, Jesus, was to expose the heart, to bring healing to the heart, that we could be an open book. We can be an open ark. That we make room for people to come into our lives. And Father, I thank you today as they do. Lord, we don't make them conform to what we think they should be. But we allow you to do that, Father. We thank you tonight, Father, just for this group of people to come out on this rainy Wednesday. Lord, and I just thank you today that they can be encouraged that we have been made competent. We have been made not just acceptable, but we've been made able to be ministers of this new covenant. That we can take this message of reconciliation and we can reconcile man to God. Father, I thank you today. There's a lot of teaching, a lot of harsh teaching, a lot of sin teaching out there, constantly beating on people. Lord, I thank you today that we can have the good news of the gospel.
Praise God.
That we don't have to hurt no more. That we have a good thing to say about somebody instead of just the negatives. Lord, and so I thank you today. I open my own heart up. And for to prepare myself to give myself even more than I have in the past, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, that we can come into this new era that the church is about to branch off into, Lord. And that you strengthen us and prepare us for that ark door to open up for this last end time harvest before the great coming of the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.